You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
The songs you sing, or most of the songs you sing, are about heaven. And I thought about that a little bit, and I said, well, because what Leland just said, one of these days, you're going to leave this earth, and you're going to go to one of two places. Boy, I'd a lot rather go to heaven than the other place. And I've lived 69 plus years now, and I'm going to live a lot longer after I leave this earth than I ever lived on this earth. So heaven's where I want to go. So that's why I sing songs about heaven. And we lost one of our loved ones just this week, our pastor's wife. And I thought they were going to be here tonight, so I was going to do this for them. But we're going to do it for you.
Did I say wife?
I'm sorry. I meant wife's mother. Our pastor's wife's mother passed away. So anyway, this is a song we do at a lot of funerals, but it's a great song. Great one to do. I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken, for time won't matter
Bibles, turn with me to the book of Romans. If you don't have one and would like to turn to the book of Romans, you can't, because you don't have a Bible. If you want a Bible, we got folks coming with a Bible. Just lift your hand and we'll get you a Bible. Is that all of them? Yeah, we got one or two more there. If you didn't get one, get your hand back up. They're coming. All right. Anybody else? Romans chapter 7. As Paul, who wrote over half of the New Testament, is citing some of his experiences here. Years ago, when I learned to fly, they had two sets of rules for pilots. They had what they called VFR, which stood for Visual Flight Rules. And then they had IFR, which stood for Instrument Flight Rules. I thought for a long time IFR just stood for I Fly Roads. But it had to do with the instruments. And even though I never did get an instrument rating, even as a visual rating, they made you do some instrument work so that you would kind of understand their theory of what they were trying to teach you. And in essence, what it was that if you lose or I lose the horizontal reference out here and we can't see the horizon, our body will begin to play some tricks on us. The medical term for it is vertigo. People can get it just and lose their balance walking because they get totally discombobulated with reality. You're flying along and all of a sudden you can't see the horizon. And you feel like you're climbing when you're descending. Or even worse, you feel like you're turning right when you're turning left. Your body doesn't tell you the truth. And what they did was teach us to believe the instruments. It was a psychological thing. I have literally walked around an airport talking to myself, saying, "Believe the instruments, believe the instruments." Because I knew I was going to be in some situations to where I couldn't believe me. I had to believe those instruments. And Paul is, in essence, talking about spiritual vertigo and what happens to a Christian if he doesn't pay attention to the instruments. Now, God has given us some instruments. They're called the Old and New Testament. They are given to us to live by and to die by. And they will help us in life and in life hereafter. They will solve every problem that we have, and we can turn to them. But any time that we forget the instruments and try to go it on our own, we're in trouble. Many of you remember when JFK Jr. was killed in an airplane crash over the lake up north. He just got a new plane that he wasn't familiar with, and here's a term that we used a lot. We called it flying into weather. And that's exactly what we do. We fly into weather. The smart guy sees the weather, turns around, and goes back. But he flew into weather with his family, and he actually flew right into the lake. The plane was in full acceleration, but he thought he's flying straight and level. And he flies it right into the lake and kills everybody in the airplane. So, Romans chapter 7, and we're going to hit some familiar ground here, believe me, as we looked at it. We're going to start with verse 7. He said, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid." Now notice what Paul said. He said, "Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet." Paul was a guy that did everything right on the outside. He was a Pharisee. He had his religious doctorate. He was as high as he could go in his religion other than being a high priest. And he had it all going for him. And he told people, with the law, I was blameless. Everything it said do, I was doing. What it said not do, don't do. But then one of the commandments got him, and it was the 10th one. It said, thou shalt not covet. Covet is something that starts on the inside. And this is what Paul is saying here. He said, I've not known lust, except the law had said that. For the first time, Paul realized, wait a minute. I know I didn't commit adultery with that woman, but I did lust. Thou shalt not covet. Don't covet your neighbor's wife. Don't covet your neighbor's car. Don't covet your neighbor's house. Don't covet. And it was that inside thing that caused Paul to recognize he was a sinner. And in our day and time, this sort of, we ought not even have to deal with the fact that everybody's a sinner. Most of this crowd is already on a computer. So we know this. I talked to a lady this week. I talked to a woman this week in the Ector County Jail. And she was telling me how good she was, which always brings up some questions when we're sitting in jail. But I said, if you were to die today and stand before God, why would you tell him that he should let you into his heaven? And she said, because I'm good. And after I dropped all my stuff and started picking it back, I said, good. You're lying. God says we're sinners. Are you telling me you've never sinned? Well, oh no. But I'm basically a good person. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said we've all together become filthy. That's a word we don't like to use. We'll all stand around and say, I know I'm not perfect. Not many people won't stand around and say, hey, I'm filthy. But that's what we are. That's what God says. These are His words. Notice what Paul said about sin. He said, but sin, taken occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all matter of concupiscence, for without the law, sin was dead. See, if there wasn't any law, there's not any sin. Nobody can break a law that's not there. If there's no speed limit, you can't break the speed limit, can you? Can't do it. It was, and the law never saved anybody. The Mosaic law, the Old Testament law, never saved anybody. It just pointed out people needed saving. Hey, you ain't cutting it. You're not making it. He said, verse 9, I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Nothing wrong with the law. It's good. It's great. The problem was with me. Verse 13. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin. So we could get the real picture of it. Sin that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, and here's Paul, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Been there? We could all have a t-shirt on that, couldn't we? For if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. But then it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And listen to verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Notice he didn't say, I know I'm not much. He said, nothing dwells good in me. Dwelleth no good thing. He said, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Been there? Now, this is written, a lot of people said, well, Paul wasn't saved. And let me tell you, unsaved people don't care whether they're doing it right or not. Paul was a Christian, but he is failing like you failed and I failed. The experience is kind of normal. Let's go on. For the good which I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that do I. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Notice in these last four verses, 22, 23, 24, and 25, he mentions three laws. There's a law of God after the inward man. Inside. Then there's a law in my members. Out here. My hands, my feet, what I do. And then there's a law of my mind. Most of us operate on feelings, not on fact. Most of what we have religion is feelings. And if we discuss very long, we can all tell one another what we feel God will do and God won't do. How we feel that God will act and how He won't act. Why we feel like God did something and why God didn't do something. We just feel. 90% of the Christians probably fall in this category. I talk to people that have been Christians a long time, living good lives. But theirs is about feeling. And yet God gave us some facts. He said, one, we're going to find this answer in the person of Christ. And then the person of Christ said, in the volume of the book, it's written to me. You want to know something about Jesus? You go to your Bible. Now, think with me if you're a Christian. And if you're not and ever become one, you will go through this. But you got saved. And you were thrilled to death. My, what a load off of your shoulders. God, you've realized that God loves you. You've been saved. He's accepted you. You're going to heaven. You don't have to live in the fear of hell anymore. And I mean, life is good. And then, out of nowhere, comes a dirty word right out of your mouth. Comes a lustful thought. Maybe even while you were praying. Comes some anger and bitterness towards somebody. Some hate. Just popped up there. And then Satan jumped up. And if it was obvious to your friends, they jumped up and pointed out your hypocrisy. Said, I thought you was Christian. Look at you. Look at you. You're doing the same thing. You messed up. You're not any good. And we have some alternatives we can take. We can ignore it and act like it didn't happen. Or we can deny it. Or we can just quit. Said, yeah, and you can do it anyway. Or we can take it to the Lord and He'll wash us up when we got a little dirty. Most of us take the denial route or the ignoring it route and don't want to face it. It is a normal experience what Paul is talking about here for a new Christian. You get saved. And believe me, like a baby learning to walk, you're going to fall. You're going to fall. There's never been a kid that learned to walk without taking a fall. It is a normal experience. It happened to the Apostle Paul, probably the best Christian in the New Testament, and he's talking about himself after he became a Christian. The thing I want to do, I don't do, and the thing I do want to do, I turn around and don't do it. Oh, wretched man that I am. I'm miserable. I thought Christianity is supposed to be happy, and I'm just a major screw-up. And I hate myself for that. It's a normal experience, but it doesn't have to be a continuing experience. I mentioned the baby falling. But if you're 17 and still falling, something's wrong. If you haven't learned to walk yet, something is terribly wrong in your equilibrium, isn't it? Yeah. It's not a continuing experience. Paul gives the solution. It's not unsolvable. It's not something we're just going to have to live with and take it on the chin all the time. It is a learning process because it deals with the mind. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. I have to learn some things. The reason most Christians never get any further is because they never opened the book to learn about how to live, learn about God and what God will do for them, learn about Jesus Christ. We just go by feeling. And you're going to fly the plane right into the lake. And I will too if we just go by feeling. I feel like I'm going up. But those instruments say we're going down. I was trying to get into Memphis, Tennessee one night. And from Oklahoma City to Memphis, Tennessee, I knew we went very close to Searcy, Arkansas. I'd flown a plane. We had offices in Memphis and our main office in Oklahoma. And so I'd made the flight many times, but the weather's bad and the ceiling was getting lower and lower. And the lower you get in those airplanes, the less those radios work. And it was getting lower, and I'm going out. I find this highway, and I just know it's going to take me to Searcy, Arkansas. And it would have, except I take it the wrong direction. And I remember I fly good ways, and I got three other people in the plane with me. And I fly a good direction. I thought, man, I've gone too far. And I begin turning out. Now, at this point in time, I'm 1,000 feet above the ground. And U-turn. Aviation, we call that 180. But it's just a U-turn. You turn around and go back the other way. As I'm turning, I look at my altimeter. And it shows that I'm falling 750 feet a minute. I'm 1,000 feet above the ground. That means I got a minute and 15 seconds to live. And I don't know about the right to. I think I better get this thing straightened up. I could have said, now I don't believe I'm that low. I don't believe I'm doing that. I don't believe I'm losing that and turning. That's wrong. Those instruments are wrong. I never will forget. We came back. Found the airport. It was the other direction. Found the airport, landed the airplane. I never was so glad to get on the ground any time in my life. Goodness gracious. All the time I'm thinking, why did I ever want to fly? Why am I doing this? What am I up here for? But those instruments tell you right where you are, and you better believe that. We need to get back to the Word of God. We have got an anemic group of Christians in our time. We don't have much Bible anymore. And the Bible says if there be anything that's perfect and beautiful and pretty and in virtue and praise, think on these things. I said earlier that what we believe is how we act. The Bible says if a man thinketh, so is he. But it's in the mind. You can run this through the mind. It's not something, see, because our heart, let me tell you about our heart. The Bible says it's deceitful. Our heart is, It's deceitful. It will get us into trouble, our feelings. And so many times we operate by feelings. See, all divorces are just feelings gone wrong. Hey, see, you better have a little more going for you than those feelings. You better know some things. That's in the mind. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. I'm going to get it right in here, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There's things, my flesh is weak, but I can learn how to do it. Just like I learned to keep from falling, I can learn how to walk, and I can learn how to run, and I can learn how to do things. And everything that you can do tonight, you've learned. You didn't come in this world doing them, but you've learned to do them. Even the things that you take for granted, like raising a piece of food to your mouth. But you didn't know that in 2 weeks. See? Those are things that we've learned. It's a learning process. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ. Or in verse 25, it's in Christ and Christ is in the book. Don't depend upon experiences or feelings or emotions. Your Christianity, if it's anything, is much more than that. You can have good feelings on crack. I'm telling you the truth. See? Feeling. And most of us are wanting those feelings because we're not happy with our situation. Why do you want to get high? Because you're low. Am I right? When I quit drinking, when I was a young man, started drinking, I started drinking to get courage enough to ask somebody to dance because I had 2 left feet. But when I quit drinking, you know why I was drinking? To forget. To forget I was a loser. See, a loser of what? Everything I attempted. As a husband, as a daddy, as a son, as a neighbor, as a relative, as an employer, as an employee, I was a loser. And I didn't like that feeling. And so I could get some scotch and feel like I wasn't a loser. Did it change the facts? No. Just like the feelings in that airplane doesn't change the direction of the airplane. Whether it's up, down, right, left, whatever the case may be. We need to believe what God says. The criminal justice system works off of behavior modification. God works off of belief modification. Because we act like we believe. Let me give you just an example here. Just take the verse that everybody will know if you know one at all. John 3:16. And I hear people say it various times, I don't feel like God loves me. Well, let's see. What did he say? For God so loved the world. Are you part of the world? Would that be you by chance? What did he say? I know you don't feel like he does, but what did he say? In fact, in another place he said, but God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not while we were trying to straighten up and do well, but while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Well, Leland, I just don't feel that believing is enough. Surely you got to do something else. He said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish. What did he say? Hey, I know how you feel. We've all felt it. There's not a Christian in this room tonight hadn't felt lost recently. Not a Christian that's never questioned because he sees himself on the inside. and can say as Paul did, I know that in me dwelleth no good thing. I see that. Well, I just don't feel like that man, I'm saved forever. Surely after I get saved, I gotta do something fine. What did he say? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Not a word in there about being in and out, off and on. What did he say? Well, you know, Leland, I just don't feel like I got it. That has nothing to do with if you had it. You know, I didn't feel like I had cancer of the lung. A little over 10 years ago, they gave me a year to live in this town. And I had no symptoms of lung cancer. I was not spitting up any blood. I was not losing any weight. I was having no pain whatsoever. And yet I had one of the fastest growing lung cancers that they knew about. It went from the size of a golf ball to a softball in 5 weeks. I was close to not making it. But it didn't feel bad. I could have another cancer tonight and not know it. But I don't feel it. Here's the facts. What are the facts? Here they are. What did God say? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. About how long does that last? How long is that? What did he say? Did he lie to us? And just because we don't feel it, we don't have it? In the book, God put in writing everything you and I need to know in this life. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? I want to ask you this. Is Jesus Christ your Savior tonight? If you were to die this very night and appear before God, and all of us will one day or another, but it just happened tonight, what would you tell him you could go to heaven for? Why should he let you into his heaven? Could you say, dear God, I trusted your Son. I heard an old boy read John 3:16. And it said that whosoever believeth on your Son would have everlasting life. That's the only hope I have. If that won't work, I don't have any other hope. But I know that. But maybe you can't even say that. But how many of you could say, Lord, I trusted your Son to take me to heaven. I'll put my faith in Jesus Christ. If you can say that, I want you to slip your hand up. I'll put my faith in Jesus Christ to take me to heaven. Just hold them up for a little bit. As I look around. All right, slip them back down. Some of you didn't have your hands up. Maybe you have doubts because you don't feel. Somebody say, Leland, you don't know how sorry I am. Doesn't make any difference. I'm not the one that saves you. But God does. He knows right where you are tonight. And he's still extending the gift of his Son that died on the cross to get you to heaven. You're here and you'd say, Leland, I want to be saved. I want to know that I'm God's child. I want to be saved. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, nobody looking around, would you slip your hand up? Very quietly, very quickly. I see your hand, yours and yours, yours and yours. Slip them back down once I've recognized you. Anyone else, real quickly? I want to be saved. Now here's what we're going to do. The Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, and notice it said in the heart, for with the heart man believeth, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Then it simplified it. It just lumped it all in one short sentence and said, for whosoever, that's you and me, shall call upon the name of the Lord, that's something we can do, any place, any time, shall be saved. That's His promise. Let's stand to our feet, head still bowed, eyes still closed. His chant starts out on the very first verse of Just As I Am. I want you to step out and say, I trust Christ as my Savior tonight. I want you to come on that very first verse. If you're God's child and you're going through what Paul went through, you say, I'm tired of this, I want to get out of this experience, then I want you to come. We'll pray with you about that. But come on this first verse.
Just as I am.
Come on.
Without one plea, but that your blood was shed for
me. Yes, come right on. God bless you.
And that you bid me come to thee.
Someone else, come on, very quickly.
O Lamb of God.
Someone else, very quickly, come on.
Just as I am,
would you come?
And waiting not,
do you know that you know that you know that you're God's child or not? Because if you don't, you can be. Please don't leave it spilled in not knowing. It's too easy. Wasn't easy for Christ. He went to Calvary. It can be easy for you.
Each spot, O Lamb of God,
come on.
I come just as I am, though tossed about with many conflict, many doubts, fighting
in fears within, without. Take some courage, then.
Without,
it's never been easy.
O
Lamb of God, I come.
Of God, I come.
I want the pianist to play just through one more verse. No singing, head still bowed, eyes still closed. Have you done what God wants you to do? Oh, how long are we going to just fight Him, hold back? And I know the feelings. I wasted more time than most of you have. O Lamb of God, I come. While these down here praying, while they're for whatever purpose, I don't know. And as the Lord plays, just think with me, O Lamb of God, I come. Our Heavenly Father, there's some folks here tonight that should have come. Dear Lord, would you give them another chance? Would you let them have another opportunity? Father, thank you for those that did come for whatever the purpose, they're here to trust you as their Savior, to get their life back right with you. Thank you that you gave them the courage to come. And it took courage. It wasn't easy. Those that didn't should have. Father, just extend your love to them a little longer. Bless those that are here. Thank you for the service. Thank you for the music. Thank you for the fellowship. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.